Good evening. If you will take your Bibles and turn to the Second Timothy chapter 1, we will be looking at verses 1 through 5 this evening. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. May God bless his sovereign and eternal word. Let us pray. Beloved God and Father, it is you that we come to tonight. And as we open your word together, may the words of my mouth truly come from what you have put in my heart and mind to share with these folks tonight. May you then, Lord, bless them according to the promise of life that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Back in August, on the first Sunday of August, I had the privilege of being up here then as well. And it was then that I introduced to you 2 Timothy. For those of you that were here, you may remember that we took a walk through the city of Rome. Approximately 3, maybe 4 years after Nero had it torched and burnt to the ground. And so when we went there, we didn't see a glorious Rome in all of its glory. But what we saw was destruction. What we saw was a pitiful sight of something that at one point in time had been glorious according to man's standards. But it was there also that we went hunting, like Osiphorus did for the Apostle Paul. And we found him in that same dungeon that Osiphorus found him in. Locked away, squeezed in. But if you'll remember, he was writing a letter. And the letter he was writing was this letter to his beloved son, Timothy. And so we took a peek over his shoulder. And there we listened as he proofread that letter. And so tonight, we come now to the book itself to look into it. And I thought it fitting that instead of trying to take one big chunk of chapter 1, to look just at the first 5 verses, the salutation, if you will, introduction, as another word to use or phrase, of Paul speaking to Timothy before he jumps off, starting at verse 6, with, therefore don't be ashamed, and many other exhortations, as well as encouragements that he would be giving to his dear son. And so, on your handout tonight, you'll notice that there are 6 points. Now, they could be bullet points. I was taught that these major divisions would be 1A, 2A, etc. And so don't be afraid. We will not be here until 10 o'clock. we will work our way through them fairly rapidly. But as I read, what we see here, especially in these first five verses, is a father speaking to his beloved son in the Lord. Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. Paul had a tremendous love as well as respect for Timothy. And so what we want to look at tonight, as we look at the affections of a father, are these. A father's affection is established by his authority. A father's affection is seen in his desire for God's best for his child. A father's affection is demonstrated by his appreciation of his child. A father's appreciation is grounded in prayer for his child. A father's affection is seated in genuine love for his child. And then lastly, a father's affection is affirming toward his child. And if you didn't get all of those right now, it's okay. We're going to be going back over them. But what we want to do is ask a question. When you think of the word affection, what pops into your mind? What do you think about? Do you think about someone that you are very fond of as a fond attachment? Or someone that you have a sense, a great sense of devotion toward? Or perchance, when you think of that word affection, you think of the one that is closest and dearest to your heart. That word is the reason that I wanted to use it tonight, because I see Paul in that frame of mind with that true love that he has for Timothy. But in so looking at it, though, we first then must understand that a father's affection is established by his authority in verse 1. Note it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus or Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Now, one of the things, this could not have been written by Paul, the book of 2 Timothy. The reason is that their reasoning was, well, Timothy already knew that Paul was an apostle. Of course he knew that Paul was an apostle. But what needed to be set in this letter by Paul was a tone of authority. Because as we work our way through the book of 2 Timothy, we will find that Timothy had some struggles. In some instances, some very severe struggles. Because we hear words like, don't be ashamed. Guard the treasure that is in you. Fulfill your ministry doing the work of an evangelist, and so on. And many warnings as well. And so Paul needed to establish his authority with Timothy before anything else. Notice that it is Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. And we read about that commission of his in Acts chapter 9, where we find Paul having a personal encounter with Christ Jesus. There, Paul was not only redeemed by the blood of Christ, but he was commissioned as well by Christ for a special ministry. And to even further punctuate that point, the Lord Jesus had him go down into the desert, Arabian desert, for 3 years, where he then received his training, instruction from the Lord himself. And so we see that he truly is then an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. For God also then divinely ordained him to be an apostle, especially to the Gentiles. And I like that phrase that is added in there, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. And in looking at this phrase, we find that he's talking about the life that Christ gave us through the gospel. This trust of knowing that we have a blessed hope, that we have eternal life through Christ Jesus. But more than that, that he then established us as adopted children, the Father did. And we then became a holy temple. We, as a body of believers, we became a priesthood. What a privilege as well as a responsibility. We sang a song this morning, To Christ Alone. And after we sang it on the way home, I could not but help think how this song portrays so well the riches of that phrase. The phrase, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. And I would like to read just a little bit of that for you. It's not in our hymnal, but it is in one that thankfully Paul had. Thank you, Paul, because I thought it would be in our hymnal, and so I left mine at home. But listen to these words, these words of encouragement, these words of awe as it pertains to what we have in Christ Jesus by the will of God the Father. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through fierce drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fulfill fullness of God in helplessness. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath to God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. And there's another stanza, but I'm sure that you get the picture of the message of that song. According to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to Timothy, my beloved child. In 1 Timothy, he goes to Timothy, my true son in the faith, or my true son. He was truly loved by Paul. I'll admit that I enjoy the King James at this point, because the King James reads this way, my dearly beloved son. The affection of a father truly needs then to be established in his authority. Then secondly then, a father's affection is seen by his desire for God's best in his child's life. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul wanted God's best for his beloved son Timothy. We see Paul expressing this desire by the greeting, grace, mercy, and peace from Christ Jesus, our Lord. And though this is a common greeting of the day, to go grace or peace, there is something even a deeper here, because in those words, we find unmerited favor from the Lord Jesus. We find mercy from the Lord Jesus in Timothy's, or for Timothy's life and in his ministry. And then peace. Paul wanted so much for Timothy to really know and experience and live in the peace that comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, a peace that passes all understanding. In his commentary on 2 Timothy, John MacArthur writes this concerning this phrase of peace, mercy, or excuse me, grace, mercy, and peace. Although commonly expressed as a greeting, these were not just words, but the expression of a genuine desire for God's best to be reality in the young preacher's life. Timothy was to be motivated by Paul's altruism, his unselfish concern for the devotion to the welfare of others. Like every believer, his young protege was saved by divine grace, the unmerited favor of God, providing forgiveness and justification. The apostle wanted his son in the faith to continually live in divine mercy, the inexpressible blessing of deliverance from the misery that sin deserves and creates. Mind and heart, the inner tranquility produced by divine grace and mercy. He wanted the best that God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord offer to redeem sinners, grace to cover sin, mercy to overrule misery, and peace to dominate life. He wanted the best for his beloved son. What a treasure from a father, a spiritual father, to his beloved son. But not only did Paul want that for his son, the best for his son. Thirdly, a father's affection is demonstrated by his appreciation of his child. In verse 3, we read these words, I thank God whom I serve. Another way of putting that is, one could say, I Thank God whom I serve for you, Timothy. It is this God whom I serve who has called you to ministry. And I believe that that is foundational when you look later in chapter 4 when Paul exhorts Timothy to fulfill, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The God whom Paul served. And Paul served him in good times, which I don't think were many, but also in severe times of persecution that we will also read about, or not just read about, but look into as I have the privilege and opportunity as we work through the book of 2 Timothy down the road someplace. At that point, I'll just gather everybody back and we'll start here and keep on going until it's over. But he wanted him, he wanted his child to know these things. And so he says, I thank God, as did my ancestors. Now that's a really neat phrase. Paul says, as my ancestors. Now, I don't believe that Paul was necessarily speaking about his immediate family. I think that he was thinking of the godly men as well as women who preceded him as godly servants of God, as Israelites. I think you could turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and start reading about all of these ancestors of Paul. Have you ever stopped to think that Paul's ancestors were men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, David, Elijah, Elisha, Jonah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, just to name a few. These were great men of God who were used mightily of God. And Paul is willing to say, I serve him as did my ancestors. With all that I have, I held nothing back, ever. And you can read about those times in Paul's life just reading through the New Testament. Here is a man who understood what it meant to suffer for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wanted his son Timothy to know that he appreciated him for that. And Paul did so with a clear conscience, a conscience that was free from guilt in proclaiming Christ. You can read about in Acts chapter 23, verse 1. You can look at it also in verses 24 Acts 23, 21 through 24. And then also 2 Corinthians 1:12, and also in 1 Timothy 1:5 and 19. A clear conscience before God. He had no regrets. He said, I have fought the good fight. It is now time for my departure. I have kept the faith, and I know that there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that God has for me, and every believer that loves his appearing. So yes, and he says that to be able to say this, as I remember you, Timothy. From the first time we met, all we did together in the gospel, and especially now, Timothy more than likely heard the gospel during Paul's first missionary journey. During that first missionary journey, Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, were probably, it was there that they came to faith. And when you get to his second missionary journey, and when you come to Acts chapter 16, Timothy is there. And it is told us that he was well thought of by the brethren there. In other words, Timothy had been discipled by the leaders of the church at Lystra. And he was so well in tune to what God wanted that he was told to Paul. And Paul took this dear younger man, probably 20 years plus younger than Paul, and he discipled him. He nurtured him. He built him up in the faith, trained him with sound words of doctrine and encouragement, things that even in 2 Timothy we will read about and be told about. So as I remember you, what an appreciation. I think of these things when I think of you, Timothy. Well, then a father's affection is then not only shown in an appreciation, but it's grounded. A father's affection is grounded in his prayers for his son. We see this also in verse 3. As I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Timothy, I want you to know that you are on my mind a lot. A lot. Now, I think we need to stop and think, because Paul says, I constantly pray for you. Now, I know that there were times that when Paul was asleep, he couldn't be praying for Timothy. But the idea and the truth that comes forth from this scripture is that he was in prayer for Timothy on an extremely regular basis. And then therefore can say with a clear conscience, I constantly am praying for you. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy chapter 6, when the Lord, through Moses, instructed the people, fathers particularly, about training their children, that you are to train them when you're at the gate. You're to train them when you're walking down the street with them. You're to train them when you're in the home. You're to train them in the synagogue. You're to train him or them when you're fishing with them, or playing basketball with them, or maybe a little golf, I don't know. But these are the times that you're praying and bringing them before the Lord God, that they would grow up to maturity, loving the Savior and serving the Savior for his glory and what benefit it is for them. So Paul was praying and praying. Paul's love and affection for Timothy was grounded in prayers for him. Fathers, may I ask you a question? And I bring this to my own heart as well. How often do you pray for your children? And you men who don't have any children, we're not off the hook. You know why? Because you should be, and I should be, discipling others. And we should be loving them like Paul loves Timothy. And therefore, they become our children in the Lord. And therefore, we then need to be praying for them constantly. Yes, Paul's affection was grounded in prayer. But you may say, I'm not quite sure I know how to pray all the time. And I know that for me personally, I cry to the Lord, teach me to pray, because I feel so inadequate. And then I started thinking as I was preparing for this message, there are great books out there, not just about prayer, but books of prayer. Now, I'm not saying that we should open them and memorize them and they become our prayers for our spiritual children as well as our physical children. But I'm saying that if we were to read them and let the message of them just penetrate our souls, we would learn to pray in a more effective way instead of saying, Lord, I pray you bless Johnny today. Amen. No, Johnny needs something deeper. Susie needs something deeper. And so we constantly pray. I was thinking of the book, The Valley of Vision. You know, Pastor Greg gave me a copy many years ago. And you read some of those prayers. They're rich. And we do a theology book for SLT. And at the end of every chapter, there's a prayer. And as I was reading the prayer this morning, John MacArthur was praying about what he and the other writer, Mayhew, had presented about theology. And he prayed concerning what that is all about as it pertains to the study of God. And I was floored. The richness of it, the absolute marvel of the depth that this man is praying. And I'll admit, I got a bit jealous because I don't pray like that. I'm learning that it is as we walk with the Lord God and we are just filling ourselves with His Word, our prayers will get richer, deeper, and more meaningful. Not that it's wrong to say, Lord, bless my children. I don't mean that at all. I just want us, like Paul, to get and dig deeper in our prayer life. But not only is a father's affection grounded in his prayers for his child, fifthly, a father's affection is seated in genuine love for his child. And we see this in verse 4. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. Do you hear that message? As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I believe that Paul, when he is in prison at this time, is his second imprisonment. And he had to leave Timothy in Ephesus. And upon that departure, Timothy was just overwhelmed with emotion that his spiritual father was leaving. And he didn't want him to leave. He wanted him to be there. And Paul is saying, I remember those tears, Timothy. And oh, not only do I remember those tears, but I long to be with you. Think of that. I know that many of you have loved ones that are far away. And when you get to see them, isn't there that sweet joy? You just want to reach and hug them just for the sheer pleasure of the joy that you're getting to be with them face to face once again. Yes, Paul had a tremendous love for this dear brother in the Lord that he called his son. And then lastly, a father's affection is affirming toward his child. Verse 5, we read these words. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure it dwells in you as well. I am reminded of your sincere faith. That word sincere comes from a word meaning unhypocritical. So in other words, Timothy's faith was totally genuine, without hypocrisy, without pretense, and without deceit. His faith was grounded in Christ Jesus alone. And because of that, it then can be a sincere faith. It can be that kind of faith that has no hypocrisy in it, that has no deceit in it. It is pure. And Paul is wanting to affirm that kind of faith in Timothy. I can see Paul in my mind's eye when he sees and writes these words. He goes, yes, Timothy, I know who you are. I know your faith. Yes, I know it was first in your grandmother and your mother. And in chapter 3, we'll find that they, the grandmother and the mother, they gave Timothy his groundedness in God's word. He was affirming. A father's affection is an affirming affection. And what that does, that promotes one to higher ground. It causes one to say, I want to serve the Lord to greater heights and not be satisfied with treading water. If it means swimming against the current, I want to swim against the current that the Lord Jesus and God the Father would be glorified in me. And so, yes, that affirmation we need to give our spiritual children. We need to give our children this kind of affirmation. You know, Paul is completely confident of Timothy's faith. And with that confidence, Paul is now able to remind Timothy, to exhort Timothy, to encourage Timothy, to charge Timothy, as we will see as we work our way through 2 Timothy. You know, I have a question, if I may ask. Father, mother, husband, wife, Sunday school teacher, Bible study leader, and all the rest of you, because you also, along with me, are on the hook. And that is this. Do you have the same affection for those you teach or lead as the Apostle Paul had for his dearly beloved son in the faith, Timothy? If not, I'm not here to badger you, nor to shame you, nor to take a hammer to your head. But what I am here, hopefully, for is to encourage you, to exhort you. If those that you are with and those that you love, I encourage you to put these 6 affirmations in practice for God's glory and the benefit of those whom you lead and teach. Let us pray. Father, I just pray that as Paul loved Timothy, and how you love us, because you love us to a greater degree than Paul would ever be able to love Timothy for us. You want us to know and be affirmed in your love and your affections for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to put on Christ. And in so putting him on, we then fulfill our ministry. Whatever ministry it is that you have given us, whether it's to physical children, spiritual children, those we teach in Sunday school, or those that we lead in Bible study, that you give us that kind of affection, that therefore when we proclaim your word to them, we would not be as tingling cymbals or sounding brass, but that we would be lights for your glory. Amen.